You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 458. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. How's it going, bud?
It's always going great.
Excellent.
Isn't it?
It is. We live in Paris.
And if it wasn't, I wouldn't unload on the podcast either. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it is going great. So
pretty low ratings on the one I did. Yeah. all right. Well, today we are on chapter five of the SEO learning series, Offsite Basics. Now, I often get the confusion from clients about this. What the hell do you mean by offsite? Well, I should have said SEO offsite basis. So anything that contributes to your search engine optimization, but external to your website. So that's what we're talking about here. And some of it you can't control, but some of it you can. And we're going to talk about what that is. And the crux of it all is authority. So Google wants to know that you've earned the right to rank. Your website will help them understand what you do. It will provide some great references, perhaps show some of your expertise and really describe in the best way possible who you are and why you should be someone who should work with you. But that's all well and good. I mean, that's great. But Google tries to act like a person in the sense they're trying to look for, all right, look, where are those votes of confidence? Can I really be sure this is a legitimate company and they've earned the right to rank? So that's what we call authority building. You need to have great authority. So we're going to talk about what that takes. And we're going to start with link building. Why don't you run with that, Scott?
Yeah. So I guess the first thing to know is what is a good link and what is a great link? I guess we should also have what is a bad link. I don't think we have that in here, but maybe we should talk about that too. So just, you know, a good link is something that's relevant in its basic sense. You know, does it complement your website? Does it talk about things? Is the link coming from a page that has the same sort of information that your site has? Generally, that's as simple as it is for a good link, but great links are quite a bit different in the sense that you still have to have that relevance. You have to have the link coming from a source that is highly relevant, but you also want it from a source that's highly authoritative. So, you know, a great link example might be, you know, the New York Times or CNN or some big publication that has a lot of authority for Google, some type of content that's got a lot of links pointing to it. It has a high domain authority score, doesn't necessarily have to have a domain authority score, but that could be an indication that it is high quality. You really want links from good websites that people actually visit, websites that have been around a while and have a lot of trust. You know, a brand new website about casinos linking to your painting business is a bad link. You know, it's highly irrelevant. It might be a source of spam. You want the links to have anchor text, preferably relevant to the keywords that you want to rank for. So whatever the key term is you want to rank for, that should be the clickable text in the link most of the time.
And I'd say the way I would describe a good link is, let's give an example. Someone's written an article on a website that is relevant to yours in some way or another. It could be a news site too. And news sites are relevant to everyone. And that's the good thing. If you get a link from a news site, that's generally good. And we're not talking about paid links here. We're talking about links that are genuinely coming from the website, from the editor that has had a certain amount of review. Now, if a link is pointing to you, just like say they're talking about X widgets and they say, well, this is a great widget and it's got interesting specs. This company, and they link to your website, discusses those specs in detail if you're more interested, or and some of the key points are da 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 da. Well, that's a great link. It's something that they've signaled that you are an authority in that marketplace, or enough of an authority that they have decided to link to you. And because those sites are already read, already have a good footprint online, you know, in other words, they're ranking well, they have common and regular visitors, then it has earned that there's a certain amount of trust that's passed to you. A great link would be, again, something so authoritative that it's like, wow, a wow moment. Like you said, any kind of news website, you could talk Fortune, Forbes, CNN, like you mentioned, anything like that. And if they're linking to you as a source, or as perhaps there's an even better, an article on your business, and it's not sponsored, that's gold. That's a great link. That's the kind of thing you just dream of. And a bad link, of course, is one that you paid for that comes from somewhere obviously paid for. I'll leave it at that. Because not all paid links, in my opinion, are the worst. It's just how you do it and the ethics around it. That I could talk to you about in person and such, but it's a bit of a rabbit hole. The point of the matter is, always try to get them the most ethical way you can. If you're in marketplaces where you've done all that and you still can't compete because your competitors are doing stuff that are a little more nefarious and they're succeeding, well, you may not have a choice but to jump into a bit of the gray area. And we do that occasionally for our clients. It's not something we like to do, but we're not going to leave them in the lurch because their competitors are beating and are doing something that's a little shadier. Unfortunately, we are here to help them, our clients, succeed. Types of link building, our guest posts. One of those would be if you were to say to someone, hey, would you be interested in writing an article on this? Or if so, we could provide you the content entirely. It'll be perfectly edited. It'll be professional. It'll be an amazing article, one you can be proud of. And yes, it will include at least, or let's say, one link or two to our services and other links as well. So it won't look entirely, you know, fake or anything like that. But this is going to be a cornerstone article. It's going to be great. And if they agree to it, that's a guest post. You're guest posting on their website. Other ones are press releases. Press releases we'll get into a little bit, but essentially there's the classics. What was it? Crane? What's the name of the place? PRWeb was the place to go. Press release web, I guess, is what you would have called it back in the day. And it was where you could go and just pay to have your press release submitted to various news organizations for X amount of dollars. And it would give you a little more exposure if those particular news agencies decided it was worthwhile. What are some of the other ones, Scott?
Yeah, so it used to be really big for directory submissions, and that's largely dead. However, there are still some good directories out there that make sense to be in. Some of them may not give you follow links. They might be no follow. But if you can find directories that are topical to your business, like if you're a real estate agent and you can find a directory of real estate agents, you know, that could be useful, that sort of thing. So try to find things that are relevant and not just a mass directory of everything. But I wouldn't worry too much about directories unless you can find some good ones, but there are some good ones. Reciprocal linking, this used to be massive, and it spawned a long list of scams and link farms and link rings and all kinds of things. Oh, I shouldn't say scams, because at the time they were good. They were, you know, they were valid. They're just a valid thing to do, and they worked. Now I wouldn't really go deep into reciprocal linking. So that's when I link to you and you link to me, unless there is a very strong connection of relevance there. For example, a contractor linking to electricians and plumbers and other trades makes sense that they could link to each other. Mm-hmm. It's highly relevant. Real estate agents linking to home inspectors and mortgage brokers and whatever relevant stuff. SEOs and web designers linking to each other makes sense. So as long as there's a clear connection there, you could trade links with your direct competition. That would be relevant, but probably not something you want to do, and probably not something they would want to do.
It would have to be very carefully planned and executed to have any benefit. And would all that effort be worth it? Who knows?
The only example I could see with, and then they wouldn't be direct competitors, would be like if you're a plumber in Victoria and you got a buddy who's a plumber in Seattle, you know, you might be able to do something there through content, guest posting and link to each other because you've got the plumbing connection, but you're not competing with each other. I don't know, like there may be examples where that could happen. It wouldn't be bad for SEO, but it may not always be good for business.
For example, a home inspector wouldn't want to link to just one realtor because they would alienate other realtors. So it's not really in their best interest. Now, if they were deciding to focus on one realtor, but they serviced several areas and they figured that they could put one realtor per area, that might be worthwhile. It's strategic in that sense from a business perspective, but obviously that's not what we're talking about here. That is a consideration, but it comes down to, will those links really have much value? And if Google can see that there's a reciprocal relationship between the links and there's some sort of benefit to both people and they look somewhat suspicious, they'll just be ignored. That doesn't mean it's not a benefit to have those links, though, for actual people doing research. So keep that in mind, too. Links have a lot of benefit outside of just consideration for improving your rankings.
Absolutely. Yeah. So don't assume it's dead just because it is not as powerful as it could have been in the past. Yeah. And I know one... Oh, I was going to say, I know the next one is probably one of your favorites because you've definitely brought it up before with sponsorships.
I like it, like especially for local businesses, if they're trying to prove that they have a footprint in a community, sponsoring a local baseball team, basketball team, field hockey, lacrosse, whatever, that's a great way to show that you care about your community, you're giving back, and hey, give me a link for that. You can ask the particular team. That's a pretty good benefit. And it's very basic, but yeah, other than the fact that people will see your logo, usually on their jerseys or on board advertising around the field or whatever it may be, that would just great, by the way, too. You're also hopefully getting a link from their website or from any other materials they put out. And that just shows to Google that you are actually a part of that community. Again, you're not just a fly-by-night business, something that could be taking advantage of people, and simply you haven't earned the right to rank is really what it comes down to. What I'll say again and again and again. So sponsoring a team, charities as well, you know, any kind of a charity that you could get involved in would be powerful. Again, if you know, you don't... Some people get very cautious about this. Obviously, you don't want to feel like you're doing it for any other reason than being a good person. But the fact of the matter is, this is business. If they can give you a link back from their charity, from their church, whatever it might be, that's fantastic. And it's a small thing to ask for. And if you just ask, most of the time they'll say yes, and it'll be worth your weight in gold. It's weight in gold, and also your benefit to the entire community is not insignificant, which feels great. It's a win-win, really. What's that next thing?
Podcasts?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. It kind of, it's a weird, strange word.
Someone else must have added that in there. I don't know who.
Yeah. That's hopeless. God, we suck. Anyway. yeah. So being a guest on a podcast can generate links to your website. So do some podcast outreach. Try and find people that have great podcasts that might want you on their show. They're often being pitched. We definitely know what that's like. And it may be that you have to do something a little different to stand out. Perhaps reaching out to them through LinkedIn, through someone you know, get an introduction. That's probably the best way to go. Introductions of any kind. Because email, I just ignore them all. I get so many. And sometimes they're good, but frankly, we already have an agenda and it's, this isn't our priority job. Like we don't get paid for this. You know, we're constantly, we do this for fun and enjoyment, and we've been doing it for years. So when we get to do the podcast, we just have our own notes. We jump into it and get into it. Sometimes planning a series like we're doing now is a lot more work, and we enjoy it at times, but sometimes we don't. Anyways, I'm off track here. I'm just saying that not always do we want to have to be pitched. So you have to attack it from a different direction so that you're actually listened to. Oh, forums.
I hesitated to put this in here, but there is still a place for forums sometimes. Yeah. And that's the only reason I included it. Oh, they were so bad for spam, for link building, and they worked as well for a while. So typically there's not a lot of SEO link value from forum posts and links within forum posts, but I wouldn't necessarily rule it out completely. If you are in an industry where there are niche forums that are popular and authoritative and just like good quality forums, you may want to become an expert in your field in those forums and stand out and post quality content, throw in links occasionally. Some forums allow you to have a profile page with some links and that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you want to put out the effort and get in there and do that, I think it's a bit of a labor of love as well. If you want to get involved in a forum, it's got to be something you really enjoy talking about and trying to answer questions and helping people and just be really positive and solid in a forum. You could get some value in terms of maybe other people might link to you. I mean, it's a bit of a long shot, but I wouldn't do it exclusively for links. But I would look at it from a link building perspective if I was doing it anyways, or if I was considering it. And like, what can I do to make my links worthwhile, to drive some traffic through my links and not look like a spammer or a scammer? If you're starting out brand new in a forum and you want to take this route, I wouldn't go with your first post with a bunch of links to your site. You know, build some authority, maybe wait a year, like build up a ton of posts, just really play it carefully. There are some larger scale platforms. Everybody knows about Reddit and Quora, which I don't like Quora at all, or Quora. I don't even know how to say it. I don't like it, but you know, the same thing sort of applies. You're not going to get really SEO value per se, but you might get traffic. You might get some eyeballs. They're not to be fully ignored necessarily, but they do take a lot of work. It, worth considering in some situations anyway. So yeah. I just wanted to make sure that was out there.
If you're considering a forum, links shouldn't be your focus. They're the tiniest, remotest benefit of being active in a forum. It could be a benefit, but your main reason for being there has to be to contribute, or you're not going to be successful. And once you contribute, you can build a reputation and truly enjoy the community, and you will end up getting leads quite likely from people who genuinely want your help. That's assuming it's that kind of forum where you are helping people out free and giving them some tips and stuff. I know many people who've done well through forums. It's never been my cup of tea simply because it's so much work. I have always fancied the idea of doing it, but it's just, I never was able to keep up.
One example of a forum that I've seen that I think is probably successful for some people is I drive a Toyota Tundra and I'm part of this Tundra forum. And so whenever I have questions about my truck or I want to learn something, I go there. There's lots of stuff. There are some people in there who are approved by the moderators to pitch their products when they get really good deals, not just like a typical product pitch, but there's one person that sells all kinds of parts. And when they get like a bulk order of a certain thing and they have maybe 100 available, they'll offer a steep discount to forum members. And yes, it is like an ad placement, but they make a lot of sales and people comment about it. And like, oh, I bought the rear sway bar from this guy and it's great. Here's some pictures. I installed it. Here's how I did it. And it turns into this thing, almost like a sales lead rather than an SEO thing.
That's cool.
Now you can't just go in there and start posting links to your sales. Maybe in some, most people are going to laugh at you and, you know, report you or downvote you or thumb down or whatever the forum does. But there are relationships that can be built with some niche forums that can be quite successful if you're willing to, again, put in the time and build those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Like there's the local SEO forums in our industry. If you get active there and you're truly effective and you help out, it is enormous. Like you really can build some great relationships. You might even get hired. And people might try to pick you up and bring you on board with their businesses. One of the most popular one was the Google Webmaster Forums. That has spawned numerous businesses from people being really, really active on there and helping out. And they've also become super moderators that have been invited to Google to go to conferences and stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing what you can get out when you contribute. It's just like anything, though, you have to do a great job of it. Now, one of the other questions, one of the things that was mentioned earlier was nofollow. So a nofollow is a attribute that's applied to a link in the background on a page, and it tells Google, you know, yeah, obviously this is a link, but don't follow it, or at least don't connect it to my website. I don't want to say that I'm giving any credit to this. I just know that it's related to this topic. I have vetted them to be sure that they're a good business, is essentially what it comes down to. I don't want to pass along my trust. And they are, I can't tell you what today the current status of that is in terms of its effect. I would say that the trust bit might be applicable still. But I can tell you that no follows are no longer a hard and fast rule. Google will look at them. Now, this is their official statement. For years since nofollow came out, Sean Carcutt and I had talked about this. We didn't believe that nofollows were ignored. It just was a great signal that Google liked us to be doing for them. Frankly, it was obvious to me that there'd be no reason for them it's just too much data they get from that. Anyways, now they've said that, you know, nofollows are something that they do look at. It is particularly important for local. If you have a link on a local website and they happen to nofollow you, but it's genuinely a community website that has some reputation, well, that's a signal. It's a citation at the very least to Google that you are local. So don't get too worried about nofollows. Even a link with a follow, like with a nofollow, is going to have some benefit to you in some cases. It's one of those, it depends. Good old Google thing, but I mean, good old search SEO thing. Not everything is yes or no. So it does depend, but don't think of it as being the door is shut thing. It's not. There are benefits even to a nofollowed link. All right. So what is link building naturally? So we talked about link building where you're actively doing things, you're sponsoring, you're doing podcasts, you're doing forum activity, guest posts, press releases. Well, link building naturally is all about ultimate content. It's something we've talked about ad nauseum in this podcast. And it's because content is what Google wants. I mean, this is so simple. It's so utterly, awesomely simple. They want you to make the internet a better place. When you do that, they want to show you off because it makes them look good because they surfaced you in rankings and the people got the answer they wanted. It's so simple. So creating great content is what Google wants, but also naturally builds links to your website because when those people find them and go, this is an amazing article, I'm going to provide a link to it from social, I'm going to provide it, maybe even put a link to it in my website, I'll talk about it on a forum, maybe even generates press. It's as grounded as it comes. I mean, this is grassroots stuff, right? So ultimate content, what does that mean though? How would you describe ultimate content, Scott?
You know, anything that's super well researched, I mean, obviously it has to be relevant, but have good data that is backed by research and testing and real life experience. Maybe include videos of you, if it's a review site, testing products and, hey, this is the product. This is how it works. Here's how these things compare to one another. Have charts that compare different things and explain the data about the topic. It's kind of hard without knowing what the topic is to say what to say, but it's just really, you want to have unique information. You don't just want to regurgitate content that's already out there. So if you're doing that testing and maybe that testing doesn't exist, so you're providing unique, brand new, original thoughts, it makes a huge difference. If you're just going out there and, you know, rewriting what's already existing, it's, no one's going to be impressed by it. Google's not going to be impressed by it. You really have to put a lot of effort in but don't get hung up on things like length either. We know we've talked about this a bunch, you know, how long should it be? It has to be as long as it has to be is really what it comes down to. Don't worry about making it a 10,000 word article, or, you know, if it's 300 words, fine, it's 300 words. If it gets the point across, and that's fine. So, you know, but be unique and original and relevant and detailed. And
yeah, what I would inject into that and to sort of enhance one of the points you made is expertise. Show your unique perspective and expertise. Well, it may not be unique in the marketplace. Maybe you have the same opinion, but the fact is it's you talking about what I did in my experience. These are the kind of phrases you might start things with, examples of you doing the work, whatever it might be. I mean, we're spitballing here on what the content could be, but, right now I do a lot of, AI based content for clients now, and a lot of people go, what? No, you know, they're a little scared of that, or they're very uncertain. And I get why. It's because everyone is, and their cat are doing, AI content and putting it out there. And it's insane just how much garbage is out there, but it looks okay on the surface. But if you were actually trying to read that content and get something of value out of it, you might go, huh, this kind of feels homogenous. It's like, there's just no
substance.
Yeah. It doesn't have anything that I'm not getting a lot out of this, but the ones you do get a lot out of are by, subject matter experts, because they're genuinely giving their own experience and opinion. So what you need to do, this is what I do, and it's not easy, but is creating excellent content using AI, but then amplifying the expertise, going in there, rewriting certain things. It's funny. I thought it would be easier than it is. It's taken me a lot of time to do a good article now. So it's funny how AI has helped, but it's also made things a little more, well, it really hasn't saved a ton of time. It has in some ways and hasn't in others. Anyways, you need to go in there and then add the expertise. Make sure that it is something that would be really viable to be shared. Adding extra media, your own media, not just shared media. Generating opinions, putting in testimonials, putting in quotes that you've written. Link to your expertise. Make sure that the article links to a bio that shows your expertise as the person who wrote it. It's a long thing. I mean, this, we could talk an hour just about this kind of stuff. It's fascinating to me because I'm doing so much of it right now, but it's, it is key. And one of the tips here for creating ultimate content is use tools like Content Animal. It's one of my favorite tools. And Content Animal allows you to type in a phrase and it will look at all the different websites that currently rank for that phrase and the content, so that you can determine what content has ranked well. And it's excellent. That's part of what we do for when we're doing authority building plans for our clients, where we're literally giving them a list of highly vetted content ideas that we know will work to, when they do spend the time to do the ultimate content. We know it will work because it's based on other content that's done exceptionally well. So just try not to reinvent the wheel. Look for great content that's done well. It doesn't matter where it is in the world. As long as it's within your industry, there's no reason but worked in Australia won't work in Victoria, BC here. I mean, as long as it's not highly regional, it's going to be a great idea. or it might spawn another idea for you. It's great doing research, and there's lots of great content out there. Link building artificially and how to do it safely. Now we've kind of touched on some of this stuff, but do-it-yourself guest posting. How would you approach this, Scott?
Well, you definitely want to create the good content for the guest posts, but you want to find good sites to post them on, and hopefully sites that will accept your posts. So, you know, you want to certainly keep things topical. Find other websites that are ranking well, have good authority, have those posts. You know, you can go to SEMrush, for instance, and search for the site you're considering having a guest post on and see what the domain authority is of the website, what the ranking history is of that website. Make sure that you're not posting or suggesting posting to sites that could be banned or have, you know, hidden agendas, and even things like malware and other things of that nature you want to be careful with. You just really want to find sites that are topical and quality and authoritative. And if you can find sites that have known authors that have, you know, been around for a while, that's great too. You know, find sites that people go to and read. Think about in terms of not.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Just getting a link from this guest post, but getting traffic from these guest posts. You want to look into, you know, is it going to cost you anything? Is this going to be a paid guest post submission? If it is, you know, assess whether or not that might be worthwhile. What is the fee, and what's the deal with the fee? Like, if you want to update the post in the future, can you do that? Things like that. So it's really, you know, something topical, a site that is relevant, that has some authority, and, you know, is that post going to be linked to even? Like, some cases they might just orphan the page if you're not careful. So make sure that the guest post will be part of their, whether it's coming through their blog or through their feed somehow, through their website. Make sure people can still find it naturally through their site as well.
Yeah, and if you're paying a submission fee, just make sure too that you have, like you said, making sure that the page is guaranteed to have your link, but sometimes they actually remove the entire page over time. Like you said, sometimes it's orphaned, but sometimes they just remove it. They will repurpose the link for someone else who's paying within 3 months, or you might get screwed and they do it only a month. You have to track these things. And it's not for the faint of heart. We work with a business who does an amazing job of that, which we've outsourced to our clients. And oh my gosh, it's taken me years to find them, and they do a great job. What a relief, because link building is probably my least favorite practice in the industry. It is torture. Finding a good company that can do it is worth its weight in, like, if it was heavy, worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
It's incredible, and it's done amazing things for my clients. for our clients, I should say. So it's been really good. And so they do work. Just make sure that you have done your work and you're going to be put in a place that's going to be beneficial and you're tracking it if you're going to do it yourself. Press releases. And so as I mentioned before, I wanted to cover this a bit more. It's another service that we've got into the last 6 months, I think. I mean, it's funny. We did press releases back in 2008, that realm of time. And I did as early as 2003, even for my own business, most likely on PR Web, because it was the standard and it's still around. But what kind of happened is everyone was using it to build links and Google just pretty much trashed the value of those. Not completely. I mean, it's not going to hurt you to get out there. I mean, you're still going to get in front of the press. Whether or not it'll generate anything is unknown. I don't know many people who do that for that purpose because I'm not thinking about that and I'm dealing with smaller and medium businesses. The big guys tend to really leverage them. Now, when you work with a company like mine, Stepforth, we're trying to ensure that whatever press releases you get out there are going to places that Google cares about. I don't really care if they're not going to show you in the Wall Street Journal. That's a different kind of service. That's when you use PR Web. This is about generating positive signals to your website that can drive that authority, that earning the right to rank. It's proving that to Google. So how do you create press releases? I mean, it's kind of hard to think about it. Like, what have I got that's newsworthy? That's the irony. You don't really know it until you've looked at a list of ideas or talked to someone like us or another person that's in your business, perhaps that has a different point of view about what you've been up to. It's amazing how many things that are actually pressworthy. And once you have them, it's a matter of creating something that has a story, is formatted like a press release, has some media in there, isn't overly promotional, and then get it to the right places. Images should be on there, up to 2 links, maybe 3 would be allowed. The releases should always link to your site as the source. In our situation, we have this amazing system I'm so proud of now that has a press room on your website that is actually a media room driven by a powerful enterprise system that ensures that every time your press release is shared, it's linking back to that as the source. So you created this beautiful roundabout way to have links and authority passing between this in a circle. Google finds that, finds you, sees other press releases, goes there. It's a beautiful little web of authority. So again, there is a science to it and it's dependent upon your purpose. Do you want those great press platitudes in the newspapers, or are you looking to genuinely increase your rankings to generate business more directly and more quickly? So press releases are great. It just has to have a bit of a plan. And that's part of actually what we do in the authority building plans as well, or what you could do when you're planning, looking at different content that's done well. You might find that when you're using Content Animal, some of the stuff that was succeeding were press releases. It's very rare to see that, but it's possible. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about social media.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Fenech. Social media. Is it a ranking factor, Scott?
Not really. Sometimes.
Maybe.
Is that it? Now, what's the next topic? Like everything, it depends. Directly speaking, Google ignores a lot of social links, or they, you know, a lot of them are no follow anyways. So there's, you know, marginal SEO value directly. But social is amazing in a lot of regards because you can do all kinds of things with it. You can attract all kinds of attention, especially if you're very active in social. If you're one of these people that has, you know, 15 followers and you post once every 6 months and you're wondering why it doesn't work. Well, that's why it doesn't work. If you're active and you're constantly engaging with the people that follow you, and maybe you've got a, I was going to pick a random number, like thousands of followers, but I guess it depends on your niche and your, you know, your, if you're really local centric, you might not need 100,000 followers to be highly successful with it. But if you're on a global level, you might need millions. So, I mean, that's all kind of relative, but the more you post good stuff, the more people that follow you will share that good stuff, which can drive traffic to your site. It can, I wouldn't use it as a primary link building tool, but you can get links from it. If you're, you know, posting links to a great piece of content, you attract more eyeballs to that great content. If the right people see it, you might get some links from it.
Yeah, you gotta remember, like, your social page, as long as it's the public version for your business, is seen by Google, and it will see the content and it will rank, but the links on it won't necessarily have any benefit to you. So do consider it as a ranked page and something that's of value, especially for your brand.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking about it in terms of link building, but you're right. Yeah, those social profiles and posts in social can rank themselves, which is a huge benefit there as well. Your social, I was gonna say community, but your social presence can build a lot of trust and customer loyalty and brand awareness. And you might attract new customers that don't find your website. They just search in Facebook or wherever for something and they find you that way. So it's just another avenue, another place for people to find you. It's just all around something you need to do because people are using it, whether you like social or not. Millions, tens, billions of people use social media. You know, I want to say everybody who's on the internet is on a social platform, which I know isn't true, but I bet it's close. I don't know. It's, you know,
at least use them. Unless we're talking about the 70s and above and age groups, they're a little more Luddite in some regards, but even many of them have their kids or their kids and grandkids on there. So they try to be active to at least keep in touch. The extra benefit, of course, and this is a different topic, but it's still a benefit of social, is reputation management. If you're trying to, if you've got some negative press, something that's ranking under your business name, the more social profiles you have in place, at least active to some degree, the more likely those are going to be pushing out any other lesser content, because these social sites have so much authority. Even if you don't have a lot of activity on them, that profile can move down other content. So it's quite effective in many ways. So don't abandon them because they're not perfect for inbound links, and don't put a lot of weight on it because of that very reason as well. All right, influencer marketing. You had put a note in here. What are your thoughts? Oh, no, that's mine, actually. Yeah,
I can't. That's your note. You have thoughts.
All right. So influencer marketing. A friend of mine, Joe Sinkwitz at IntelliFluence, it's spelled as it sounds, IntelliFluence, has an industry that is focused in, or his web, a business entirely focused on hooking you up with influencers. It's very cool. Something I've been dying to use for my clients, but it's never quite come to that point yet. I see it coming, but it's not quite there. We usually have other fishes to fry first. But if you want extra exposure and ways to push up your business and get that brand a real kick, man, check out Joe's site. That's IntelliFluence.com. And just make sure that when you do any kind of influencer marketing, you have all your ducks in a row. You do not want anything breaking. Because if they send a ton of business your way, a ton of interest, if they find anything broken, if they find anything untowards, it's worthless. In fact, it's going to damage you most often. You need to have all your marketing in place, everything tested on redundant servers so that you can handle any kind of extreme traffic. It's not rocket science, but it's also something just has to be done. You know, if you don't do it, you're going to regret it, because influencers aren't cheap And if you, especially depending on who you pick, of course, there are some less expensive ones. It all depends on your market. But if you do go for the, some of the bigger ones, you're going to be spending a lot of money and you want to maximize this to the end of time. You don't want to make everything count.
We have a client in the tourism industry. And I remember we had no idea they were using influencers at all. And I went to send them a report at one point, and I'm looking through their analytics, and I saw for whatever month it was, they had a spike for about 2 or 3 days of close to 100,000 visitors in traffic. And I was just like, well, like, what is going on? Like, it's got to be a glitch, because you do see glitches like that sometimes. It was just this anomaly of traffic that was probably at least 20 times their normal traffic. And so after talking to the client, we found out that, yeah, there was an influencer who had talked about them on, I think it was TikTok of all things. I don't like TikTok. We won't get into that. But anyways, and it just, their traffic spiked hugely. Their sales, well, I don't know what their actual sales were, but their leads spiked like crazy. It was just, and they do this every now and then, every, I don't know, 6 months or so, they get this huge spike with this influencer. I don't know if it's the same influencer either. I don't know a lot about it. This particular client, we, it's long story. We don't work with them a lot, but anyways, they, yeah, it's huge. So, I mean, potentially, I mean, 100,000 visitors in a day, that could wipe out a site. Like, that could totally break and crash your site if you've got really cheap hosting. Some cheap hosting only allows for so many visitors a day, and it'll just like lock down until the next day.
They'll actually kick you out.
Yeah. So, if yeah,
you don't
warn
them ahead of time, they will completely destroy, like, cancel your account. I mean, because it'll devastate their entire server with probably hundreds of clients on there, and they'll all be angry at them. And
oh, they will.
To happen. So,
yeah. Okay. If you do any, if you do anything serious, don't be on that $1.99 a month hosting plan. Yeah. Or you know, God help you. Just good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we have a dedicated server we picked up at WP Engine. It's definitely not the best hosting company, but it's been really good for us. And, you know, we charge, I think, our clients 40 or 50 bucks a month. That is nothing for a business. But with that, we're able to put on a ton of safeguards to ensure that their site won't go down, you know, and ensure that there's redundant backups at the wazoo. That's not just WP Engine. We have another system in place as well. And that's when we don't even think there's going to be influencers. So yeah. If we had that, I'd be like, oh God, okay, well, we need to talk to these guys. You need to have this in place and this in place and this in place. You know, that's just the norm. So don't go cheap. You don't realize it. I guarantee it, unless you're savvy enough, you probably don't even realize that you're turning people off because your website's loading slowly. May not be when you test it because you've got it cached. Maybe someone else is finding it slow from where they are, where they're located, or a specific time of day, because on those servers that are clogged with lots of other sites, there are times of days they get busy, and a lot of them get busy, and all of a sudden the whole thing goes down to a snail's pace. The hosting company is only guaranteeing uptime, not speed.
Yeah.
And yeah. Wow. We could rant about that for a while, eh?
a little bit of a tangent, but it's important. I mean,
it's
if you don't,
so important. Yeah. Holy cow. Like, what's your website? What's all this work we're doing if it's not stable and running beautifully? Oh, tons of stuff to talk about there. Okay. So podcasts. We know a little about that, obviously. Pick a name that clearly represents your topic. Don't get all fancy. Okay. SEO 101, pretty obvious what we're talking about. But if you pick some from Earth to the Mars and you're talking about
Ross and Scott talk about stuff.
Yeah. Like
I mean, that was dumb, but you know, you don't know what that means
Earth
either.
To the Mars, maybe you create little models on Mars of galaxies or something, but it's just, I don't know. There's a little relevance there at least, but sometimes they're just the stupidest names and there's no obvious relevance. And having some kind of connection is important because people will be talking about you and linking to you. And if they're using the term that you want to be found for, hello, all of a sudden that ranking is going to start happening more often than not because it's connected to the term and it's connected to your website and it's connected to your podcast. Don't jump the gun there. Pick something that's great and make sure you've slept on it a few nights before you finalize it because it's what you're going to get stuck with. Getting the word out about a podcast is another thing entirely. You know, you need to build that yourself, put it on social media, obviously make sure that it's syndicated across great places. Some of them won't allow you to be syndicated until you've got at least five episodes. There's a number of different things and pre-qualifications, benefits, and whatever. And it's a rabbit hole. But if you're going to do your own podcast, either hire a production company or use virtual assistants, wherever that may be in the Philippines, where we love to hire. We've got phenomenal staff from there. Just make sure that when you're doing it, that you do it the right way. A production company will handle it for you if they got a good reputation. Make sure you check their reputation. I've been bit on that one before. And if you've got VAs, just make sure that you know what you're doing, because you're going to have to create the processes. You're going to have to be a bit of a DIYer, or hire someone who knows them and create some for you, so that the VAs will be able to follow them step by step, and they could have a tenth the brain power one day, but still get the job done right because the instructions are so clear. Okay. That's for recording, editing, and distribution. Very important. Then consistency is key. Yeah. Don't look at us. I know we're not so good with consistency. We're trying. I'm just glad we're continuing to do this. Honestly, it's been a long time and I love it. I'm so glad we do it.
You know, if each one of our listeners sends us $10 a week, we could be super consistent.
Hell, a week, I'd just take $10 from each listener.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
That's true. That's all it would take.
Yeah. Just a like, just give us a review. That would be phenomenal. We don't even have any reviews on Apple. It's crazy. Anyway, consistency is key, especially when you're starting out. We were consistent for years. I'd say it. I can't believe I'm saying this, but we were consistent for almost a decade.
Yeah.
Nuts, man. Oh, I can't believe I can say that. Anyway, sure, we had some times where we missed the odd one, but it was very consistent. And that's why we're in our 458th episode. So, you know, it takes a while. Some go faster. Some have, I know people who are nearing their 1,000th episode and they're just, that's amazing to me, but it's all in what you want to do and what your goal is. Try to mix up the content, you know, keep it interesting. That might be the odd guest host. That might be talking about something really controversial and getting the word out and trying to build some discussion around it outside of the podcast. And last but somewhat least, make sure to have at least an okay co-host like Scott.
Yeah. You know, it's a step up from meh. Not quite decent yet. Someday I'll be decent. But you know, I'm on my way up from zero, so we'll get there.
I'm sure there's many people out there that prefer you over me, so I'm so grateful.
Well, there was at least one email you sent me once, and someone was like all in all over me, and I couldn't believe it, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah,
that one person is my best friend.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I have to tell my wife thanks for sending that email.
Yeah, I'll be the first to say no one could completely replace John Carcutt, but you've done an amazing job, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Definitely the best pick. All right.
Aw.
Yeah, well, you're not going to be nice once in a while, I figure. local Google business profile. Now, we just discussed this, but to briefly reiterate, ensure your Google business profile is complete and accurate. Update it regularly with new hours, photos, categories, if there's any new categories.
Posts. Yeah.
Posts. Yeah. Everything. Respond to reviews. Oh my God. I just had a call with a client the other day. I was horrified. She was like, why aren't we getting better results? And I went and I looked at the system, because I wasn't actually running that campaign, and my person who wasn't actually at work that day. And I went and looked, I'm like, well, have you looked at your Google business profile? How many times have we told you to respond to your reviews? Some of them were negative, which first of all, it's not a good sign, but they hadn't responded to them. And it was like half a discussion that was all negative. They could have turned it into a positive. They really could have, or at least neutralized it. But that's one thing. The other thing is just to get reviews. I mean, yep. A lot of businesses don't do anything to get reviews because they feel like they're tooting their own horn and they're very shy. That's a very Canadian thing, by the way. I've got lots of Canadian clients that do that. I was actually horrible at that too at one point. Now I realize, hello, this is business. You got to ask for them or people won't provide them in many cases.
You know, we actually just had a meeting with a client. Was it this week or last week? And they were talking about their Google reviews and they got tons of them and they're really active.
Yes.
Talking to their clients about, hey, you know, talking to their happy clients about, hey, oh, if you don't mind, could you go over to Google? Here's the link. We'll send you all the information. They can easily do it and leave us a review. And they get tons of them. If you're a criminal defense lawyer, it might be harder to get those reviews.
Yeah.
But in a lot of retail type settings and service businesses, you know, some of them I wouldn't say it's easy. It takes a lot of work, but easier in some than others.
Yeah. Lawyers. Oh my gosh. I've not found a more difficult, well, them and psychiatrists, I've not found much
that would be tough. Yeah.
To get a review. And it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it totally does.
Especially injury defense or family lawyers or stuff like that. It's people, you know, people are doing mortgages and that kind of thing. It's easy because there's nothing really private about that and nothing to be potentially ashamed of. Anyways, it is very hard. There are certain industries that are brutal to build authority for, and those are definitely a couple of them. We've talked about, I think in the last episode too, about how to respond to reviews and how to do it well. So do keep that in mind. There's a lot of great content online about that. I don't want you to make that mistake. You need to do it right. If you're a 24/7 business, but you don't actually have a business that's physically open, there's not a door open with someone inside waiting to greet people, that is not a 24/7 business. Keep that in mind with Google Business Profiles. They require that kind of access. Just if that's the case and you are, or that's not the case, but you are 24/7 in terms of response, like a plumber without that kind of thing. Well, good. That's great. You can add that as a feature within your business listing. You can add it into imagery on your business listing. You can add into the description on the business listing. There's lots of different ways you can make sure people know that. And yeah, it is important. You want them to know that because that is a sales factor. But that's just one example of the minutiae that you have to consider when you're working with Google Business Profiles. And again, that happened yesterday dealing with a client on this that, you know, didn't know that, and understandably. And it is a bit weird that Google requires that kind of detail and focus, but it is what they are what they are. And we got to play their game sometimes. Last but not least, the Google Knowledge Graph. This is something a lot of people don't even think about, but if you type in your business name, and let's say you're not a local business, do you see a knowledge panel about your company? If you type in Microsoft, you'll see a big knowledge panel about Microsoft, who they are, when they started. You'll probably even have links to the different CEOs over time and tons of stuff. Obviously, they're massive. That's a huge example. But let's say, my favorite type of knowledge panel is a personal one. If you are a leader in your industry, you need to have a solid knowledge panel. If someone types in your name, you should be first. It could be that you've got a very generic name. How the heck are you going to be first? Well, maybe someone adds a modifier. It could be Joe Cinquits, influencer. Joe has got a pretty unique name. He's probably showing up anyway. but let's say, Joe John. Can you get it anymore?
Joe John.
Any more generic?
John Smith.
Yeah. Well, you're John Smith. Thank you. Let's just go for that. I couldn't think of the most obvious one. Duh. But if you had that and you wanted to get ranked, that's going to be harder. But if they have a modifier like influencer or SEO or race car driver, you better show up. And if you're not, then you need some work done. And that can be done. I've been doing it lately for some one of our clients is a celebrity in her area and she wanted to be found better, and it's fun. It's been a blast doing it. And she's within a week, she's already improved her visibility. It's an entirely different kind of search engine optimization, and it is really interesting, labor intensive, not simple, but totally worth it because you want people to be able to find you when they do that search. This is offsite SEO. This is the kind of thing that helps your branding, that also can be part of your calling card, saying, hey, just type in my name here and you'll find out all you need about me. And then, wow, you'll be blown away. My friend, Stefan Spencer, type in his name, Stefan, that's S-T-E-P-H-A-N. And last name is Spencer, as it sounds. And you'll see the Ultimate Knowledge Panel. He's done so much work on it. It's exceptional. And I congratulate him on it. And it's really great. And lots of great stuff there. He's also got a great podcast too. Anyway, he has worked on his knowledge panel and is evident. That can be yours if you are a person of influence of some kind. It surprisingly, you don't have to be a person who's been on the news, who's been in the news regularly and a true celebrity. You just have to be significant in what you do and have some key signals online that we can leverage. And it can be done. You can have your own. And that is really, really interesting. And it's one of my pet projects right now as a new service we're offering. It's fun. It's really fun. And again, I think it's really worthwhile. I'm personally working on my own right now to move it up. And it's exciting. You never know what's going to happen, right? I've been doing this too long. I need exciting things.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company, Senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today for this Chapter 5 of the SEO 101 Learning Series on Offsite SEO. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air, hopefully, twice a month on WMR.fm.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.